Romans chapter 8. And I gave you fair warning last week that this is where we're going to be. Romans chapter 8. We looked last week, just by way of reminder, of the Apostle Paul's frustration with how life was. And that he had come to the declaration of, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" That he was very frustrated with the fact that even though we're believers, even though we can ask Jesus Christ to be our Savior and reestablish that relationship with our Heavenly Father, that it's not always easy. And Paul kept saying, those things that I hate doing, I wind up doing those things all the time. And the things that I really want to do, I don't wind up doing those things. And he talked about the fact that we're in the flesh and that there's always going to be this desire in us to follow after sin, even though we're freed from it. And he comes to that conclusion that says, "Oh, wretched man that I am." And again, I don't know about you, but every time I read that from the Apostle Paul, and again, I don't want to give him more praise than he's due because he was just a man as well. But if a guy like the Apostle Paul can call himself a wretched man, I think I'm a mess, okay? Because I know where I fail the Lord sometimes. And then he puts out this declaration that says, "Who shall deliver me? I need a deliverer." And he says, "Who's going to deliver me?" And we looked at last week who our deliverer was. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And we talked about what he delivered us from. Remember, he delivered us from death. And we just talked about that again this morning in Sunday school. As a matter of fact, in the words of Paul Harvey, we're going to have on page 2. Okay, because a lot of what we just looked at, what God had pointed out in Exodus, is what we're going to be seeing again here today. So he delivered us from death. He delivered us from the wrath to come. Because we talked about the fact that God is angry with the wicked every day, that there's a unfortunate judgment coming. He delivered us from the power of darkness. Amen. And I don't know about you, but I take a lot of joy in understanding that Jesus said, you know, you resist the devil, he'll flee from you. He said, the world hated me, it's going to hate you too, but don't fear because I've overcome the world. I get a lot of joy from that because the only way anything comes into my life is because my Heavenly Father decides it's something that I'm worthy of bearing. Amen? And we talked about that in prayer this morning we were sharing. And again, if you can make it here at 9 o'clock in the morning, we have a prayer time to start things off. That sometimes the way the Bible presents it to us is the sufferings and the hardships and the difficulties that we have oftentimes are God's allowing it because he considers us able to bear it and give praise and glory and have a good testimony. And oftentimes we think, what's wrong that this has happened to me? Nothing's wrong. God is saying, my child, you've grown enough now that you can handle some of this tough stuff. You want to know, and I don't necessarily like using my kids as examples, but now that I have children who are 29, almost 28, and 28, almost 27, and 20. I forget, I'm old. But we teasingly with them all the time talk about adulting. Okay, welcome to adulting, right? And my daughter's car broke down this weekend and this past weekend, and the moment of why do all these things have to happen to me? Guys, you have one of those days, haven't you? Where it just seems like everything's falling down around you and you begin to shake your head and say, why is it everything awful that's happening? And you just smile because how many of us who've walked this planet for 20, 30, 40 years know that days like that come, don't they? How wonderful the days were when I was still adolescent or a teenager and mom and dad handled all those problems, right? But as we're adulting now, you have to start taking them on yourself, and it's not fun, okay? But it's not a problem if what's the problem is when you have maybe a 45, 50-year-old kid still living in mommy's basement and he doesn't have a real life. Isn't that the one we sometimes kind of look at and go, No, again, I'm not saying living at home. You can live at home with mom and use that. That's fine. But you know what I'm talking about. There are kids out there who don't know how to do their own laundry. They don't know how to get it. They don't have a job. And they're in their late... They should have adulted by now. And the difference is they're not stepping up and taking over those things that they should be. Count it a privilege when you and I, God looks at us and says, all right, He can handle this. He's grown enough, and God gives you something to handle. Amen. But thank you, Lord, that He's delivered us from the power of darkness. He's also delivered us from the wicked. Remember, we talked about it. He's delivered us from wicked men, that we don't have to worry about that. That God has His hand on things so clearly in this world that He could take care of any situation that's about. He also delivered us from temptations. That He talks about, there's no temptation taking you, but such is common to man, but God has made a way of escape. Okay, there ain't no, the devil made me do it. Something comes your way, God promises He's made a way for you to bless you. Get out of it. And then He's made a way not only for us to get delivered us from temptation, He's delivered us from persecutions. Even though in that same passage we read, those who live godly shall suffer persecution. God's delivered us from those things. All right, so with all that in mind, those were, and if you were at the end of Sunday school, this was all the negative side of things that God took care of with His deliverance. Today, we're turning that around in Romans chapter 8, and looking at the positive side. He delivered us from those things. What did He deliver us to? Okay, and that's what we're going to be looking at this morning. What did God deliver us to? Because what's great about God, He didn't just bring us from the negative to the zero. Now He's brought us from zero to abundance. And we need to realize that, because especially in a world today where so many people are suffering with anxieties and inferiorities and depressions and things like that, we tend to forget that God didn't just give us, erase the bad things. He's given us a ton of good things. And if we could keep that in our minds, it would keep our spirits and our hearts and our emotions in check, because we can say, wait a minute, I'm a child of the King. I belong to the Master of the Universe. He's delivered me. Now, I'm going to say this one more time. I need somebody to give me an amen. He's delivered me. All right, thank you. All right, I just wanted to make sure there was somebody out there that was still awake, because I don't know about you, but He's delivered me, and I'm happy about it. Okay? Now, I'll say this. I'm standing here right now. It's easy to preach it. Please remind me that I'm happy about it, because there will be days that I'm going, and you can walk up to me and say, Pastor, He's delivered you, and I'm going to go, shut up. Okay, because you know the day. We get those moods once in a while, but isn't it great to keep our minds focused on this? So let's look at the first couple of things He's delivered us from. Let's read chapter 8, verses 1 through 5. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I want to just stop right there, and we're going to give some God some glory in prayer. Because there's now, therefore, no condemnation. So at this point, I want to ask God's blessing, and then we'll go on. Heavenly Father, I thank You again. You had a plan. You've always worked it. You don't go on vacation. You don't take a nap. Lord, everything that You've designed from the very beginning of creation is working according to Your plan. And I'm thankful for that. And Father, sometimes in our human minds and the scope that we're entrapped in day-by-day struggle, we sometimes forget that You've got it under Your control. You are sovereign. You are all-powerful. Father, I thank You for not only being a God who knows what's going on, is in control, but You're a loving, merciful God who's reached down to us to make salvation available so that, again, Lord, we can be in that proper relationship in Your presence. And Father, I'm thankful for that. And we looked at, Lord, this deliverer that You are, that the Lord Jesus Christ did. And through salvation, through accepting Him as Savior and His forgiveness of sins, Lord, You've taken care of so many of the negative things in our lives. But Father, I thank You that it didn't stop there. That we're not just brought to ground zero. We're not just above water. We're back in the boat. And Father, I thank You so much for that. Lord, give us understanding today. And Lord, this passage, there's an amazing phrase that just excites me. There is therefore now no condemnation. And Father, thank you for that. We're going to continue to understand this together this morning. Be with my words in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the amazing things about the book of Romans is it is a very legal style book, is the easiest way to read. Imagine sitting in a courtroom, okay, and having a judge and having an accuser and having an advocate and having a case built against you. And that's very much the way Paul writes this letter. And there's this wonderful phrase here that I want us to bring out. So the first thing that we see that we're delivered to is justification. Now, sometimes it's a big word, and we don't necessarily always use that word, but there's a cute way to remember it. I think you guys have heard it before. Justification is, to justify means just as if I didn't sin. Okay, that's a cute way that people remember it. The understanding is to declare someone righteous. Now, here's the thing. God himself, judge of the universe, is sitting behind his throne, ready to judge you and I with every right. And in sin, we're in trouble. Right? The Apostle Paul just got done explaining this. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me? Well, he did deliver us. Now imagine you're standing in front of the judge and he has every evidence against you and he says, no condemnation. No matter what is said against you, I declare you righteous. Now, I love that. Now, remember, we looked at a little bit this last week. Pay attention to the very words. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation. That three-letter word now is important because that means there used to be condemnation, didn't there? If he's saying now there's no condemnation, there was condemnation before, and that's the key. If you and I were still living in sin and hadn't surrendered our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, we haven't accepted that the blood sacrifice that he provided to forgive us of our sins, we are still in condemnation. Okay, one of the famous passages, you see it all over sports activities, right? John 3:16. If you read John 3:18, it says, listen, if you have not received Jesus Christ, you are condemned already. But you and I, those of us who have surrendered our lives to him as Savior, he says there is now no condemnation. Now, I don't know about you, because maybe it's just me. How many of you guys beat yourself up? Hey, come on, you look at your life and you go, blew it again, I'm a mess, I did this, I wish I didn't do that, I wish I had to struggle with anger, or my language, or this, or that, or these thoughts, or whatever. And we are continually condemning ourselves. You know, the Bible says, even if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts and knoweth all things. There is now, therefore, no condemnation that are to them that are in Christ Jesus. Look back at Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't it great to know that, and we touched on this last week, that God the Father is not a being up in heaven waiting to pop us with a hammer on top of the head or zap us with a lightning bolt. He doesn't work that. We have peace with God. He looks at you and I and says, I know all the things that you had in your life. Now, not guilty, because we're still guilty, but he declares us righteous because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done in us. Not only has he declared us righteous, just as if I hadn't done the things wrong, but Acts chapter 13, verse 39, by him all that believe are justified from all things from which we could not be justified by the law of Moses. Now he's talking about Remember, there's a law of sin and death, and I'm guilty according to the law. He said, we're justified from all things, even those things we messed up in. You with me? Isn't that awesome to know? Amen. Thank you, Derek. Somebody's out there. Can I get an amen? Okay. I want us to remember that we're talking about how you and I can continue to live a life of abundance and joy, understanding that no matter what I have done, when God looks at me, He doesn't see my sin. He sees me in robes of white because I have been washed by the blood of the Lamb. Okay, and if you're missing the pictures in Sunday school with what God has done with the priests and what they're wearing and how we just saw sacrifices of blood, and man, it's crazy. But reminder that all of that is a picture of what Jesus Christ has done for you and I. We are no longer condemned. God has declared us as the judge. Not only has He said that, He says we are free. Okay, Romans chapter 3, verse 20. We love Romans 3 when we're looking at the Romans road and trying to lead somebody to the Lord. Romans 3, we go to 23 all the time, right? And it says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But verse 20 said, therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in His sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. He's freed us from all of us from the law. Thank the Lord for that, because you know what? I can't keep the Ten Commandments, let alone all the rest of it. I've already blew it. But God has said, I am declared righteous. He's justified us. Go back to Romans chapter 8, because I want to show you something else. So we want to read this whole little passage again, 1 through 5. Therefore, there is now no condemnation to them that are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Jesus Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak in the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of the flesh, of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. We talked in Sunday school. What a blessing. You and I have been anointed by God's Holy Spirit. We are not bound to walk in sin anymore. Okay, and there's the key. Guys, we're going to read the verse in a minute that talks about if you have God in you, the Lord Jesus Christ in you, you have His Spirit. You are no longer bound. So why is it that we continue to live like we're slaves to sin? We don't have to do that. And this is where the next point comes in. But I want to point out, number one, the ability that you and I have to make a difference in our lives. For the first time, we have God's Holy Spirit within us, and that can make a difference. Because the second point is, He justified us, right? He said as the judge, you're not guilty. I'm not going to punish you. I'm not. You're set free. I don't care what you've done. I'm declaring you righteous by the blood of my Son, Jesus Christ. The second thing He says is, you're sanctified. Okay, we just talked about this in Sunday school, and what an amazing difference. I'll point this out in a minute. Sanctified means you are set apart for something special. Okay, whether it was any part of the tabernacle or the priest's garment or the altar or the children of Israel themselves, He says over and over, I have sanctified you. Guys, you know, Wednesday nighters, you should be tired of this by now. What is my definition of sanctified? Somebody tell me. Okay. My toothbrush. Right? I'm tired. This is the silliest way for me to remember it. Okay. My toothbrush is mine. It has one purpose, brushing my teeth, right? How would you feel if somebody took your toothbrush and used it for something else? Okay, you wouldn't be using it anymore, would you? Even if it was like, you know what, there was just this little thing in the bottom of the cup that somebody left there. I used it to clean it. Sorry, new toothbrush. That is set apart unto me. It has a purpose. It's special. I'm using it for what I designed it for, and that's it. Don't take it and use it for something else. Okay. We'll pick it up, and one of the kids say, yeah, there was some dirty grout in the shower. I took care of that for you. Sorry, okay? Now, I know that's silly, but I want us to have a visual of what God is talking about. When you and I are sanctified, that means he has taken whatever it is and called it special for a purpose. So not only are we justified like we haven't sinned, okay, and he's declared us righteous, now he says, I've done that because I've got something special for you. You believe God has something special for you? Now, do you believe God has something special for you? Because sometimes we can say, yeah, God has something special for his people. Right? He saved us. He's redeemed us. We're on our way to heaven. Okay? Do you believe God has something special for you? Just you. I believe that. I believe I can put anybody's name sitting in here. Jim's in the front seat. He loves it, so I'm going to keep picking on him. I believe God has something special planned for Jim. Do you? He saved you. He has set you apart. He sanctified you. You read through the book, especially the Apostle Paul, because he wrote so much of the New Testament. He talks about that God had sanctified him and given him a special duty. Just him. He's given every one of us that. Now the question, and I'm going to throw it out there, which I'm going to, are you doing your special duty for the Lord? Okay, because if he's made us special and he's got something special planned for each one of us, don't you think we ought to be doing that thing that he asked us for? And now let me, since I picked on Jim, he's given Jim a special purpose in his life, and there are certain things that only Jim is going to be able to do. He's dealing with some folks that I've never met. He keeps promising me they're going to come to church, but I never see any of them. But God has given Jim a special ability and a special purpose. Every single one of us. Now, remember what I'm trying to do here. There, I talked about last week and set it up a little bit this morning. There are nights you lay in bed and just looking at the ceiling saying, Lord, I don't know why you put up with me. My life's a mess. Oh, wretched man that I am! And then the thoughts can be coming into our mind, no, God said, yes, I understand that you ain't perfect, but I'm going to declare you righteous. And not only that, Craig, but don't forget, I have something special for you to do. Something designed just for you. I've sanctified you. I've set you apart for a purpose. Yeah, Lord. There have been times with my three children where they would be having a tough time, you know, much younger, of course. And I'd sit him on my knee, or we'd sitting across the bed from each other talking and through a tough time, and I'd look at him in the eye and say, but you know what? God has something special for you. You believe that? When you talk to Yerky, you believe that? About, well, Dad, I don't know what I'm going to do. What am I going to, am I going to be this? I don't know what to go to school for. I don't know what I'm going to have a job doing. I said, it doesn't matter. God has something special for you. Well, hi, I'm telling you, as God's family, the same thing. God doesn't make any junk. Now, we can roll this all the way back, because you remember this theme started on Father's Day with, he's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. He's still working on me. God has something special planned. We're set apart. Make you feel good? I hope so. I'm going to just keep right on going. There's some verses we can read here about that, but I think we get the idea that God has given us something special he has set us aside for. Want to hear something neat? This is cool. When you look up, this is just a side note, when you look up the word justification and you work up the word sanctification is mentioned a lot in the Old Testament. That he set things apart unto him, his people, his sanctuary, his tabernacle, the temple, the everything. Not so much mentioned in the New Testament. Although it's there. But you know, the flip side of the coin, justification, is mentioned a whole lot more in the New Testament than it is in the Old Testament. Because until Christ came, God couldn't really justify everybody. I mean, he could by the works of the law, but we just saw the Bible said, but by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. What justifies us is the blood of Christ. And even in the numbers of times that it's mentioned, justification is mentioned a whole lot more in the New Testament, which, guys, that's where you and I are. We're after Jesus' death. He's declared us to be righteous. There's just a side note for you. I love it. He took a lot of things the Old Testament said, I got a special plan for this. And yes, he did. But until Christ came, he couldn't say as a whole, you are declared righteous by the blood of my Son. Whew. Gives you goosebumps. Third thing he did, he adopted us. He adopted us. Look at verse 14. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. So he's said, not only are you not guilty or not going to receive the punishment, I'm declaring you righteous just as if you've never sinned. Not only do I have something special for you because I've set you apart and sanctified you, but you're so special to me that I am adopting you as one of my own. Now, that's a big deal. I don't know about you guys, but I'm imagining the courtroom again, right? And the judge says, not guilty, your penalty is paid, you can go free. Whoa, hold it. Not only can you go free, I tell you what, I got something special for you. Matter of fact, it's so special that I, the judge, am going to adopt you into my family because that's the potential I see in you. I'm going to make you one of my own. That gives me the shivers, man. The hair on the back of my neck standing up. God not only said, are you not worthless because I've delivered you from all those negative things, death, wrath, sin, all those things, but I've seen that you're so special that I'm going to make you one of my own. That we can cry out, Abba, Father. That word is daddy. Not just, oh, Father. It's that word you use when you're hurting and you want to just hang on his neck and cry. Daddy. It's that precious sweet word. But let me fill you in a little bit better on adoption. Because adoption, sometimes we think it's the same as adoption now. Okay? Where, okay, I got 5 kids. They're my real kids. And then I've adopted a couple, right? And they're my kids too. But there's that little weird caveat that comes in there somewhere. Well, God does not do that. We are all his children. But here's the real key, and this is the amazing part. Adoption in the Bible is not just making you one of the children. The word is son placement. Now, we've talked about this before, so I'll try to be brief in explaining it. But what it means is in that culture, the firstborn son got the major inheritance. Remember, if you had 2 kids, 2 sons, they would break the inheritance up into 3 parts. And the firstborn son would get 2, and the secondborn, you know, any. So if you had 20 kids, the firstborn son always got a double cut. Because his job when mom and dad passed away was to take over the whole family, and he kind of, you know, oversaw things, right? The system. So he got the major inheritance. You get me all right? That doesn't matter. Don't worry about it. What I'm trying to tell you is the firstborn son got the major inheritance, right? Just nod. Okay, good. All right. So the firstborn son get the major inheritance. Adoption means You are put in the position of the firstborn son. That is what this son placement means. We're not just one of the kids way down the line. You and I are given the exact same inheritance that is due the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, again, that hair standing up on the back of my neck. Did you see what it said here? We read it. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. We're not just some 40, 50 millionth kid in God's family. We are given the same inheritance that belongs to His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Now tell me again how this might help you and me when we're laying there going, oh, wretched man that I am. Who's going to deliver me out of the body of this death? Oh, that's right. I've been declared righteous. My sins have been taken care of. Not only that, you've made me something special. You set me apart for a job. And not only that, you gave me the same inheritance that has been promised to Jesus Himself. We're joint heirs with Christ. Sound like a bunch of positives to me, doesn't it? Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5 says, But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem us that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. I don't know why He did it, but isn't it awesome to know He did? You and I have a heavenly home. When we sing that song, A Child of the King, man, there's awesome. All right, last bit and I'm done. I'm going to run early today. It's a terrible thing, isn't it, Jenny? That's awful. Okay. Well, you giving me permission to go another half an hour? Now listen, not only has He declared us righteous, we are just as if we didn't sin. Not only has He set us apart and made us something special, He adopted us into His family and said, you know what, you're going to get the same inheritance that my Son gets. He glorifies us. He glorifies us. Look at verse 17. We've read the first half of this. And if children, then heirs, joint heirs with Christ, if so we suffer with Him, we may be also glorified together. For I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of Him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from bondage of corruption, into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our bodies. God says, you know what? Not only have I done all those things for you, I also glorified you. Ephesians chapter 2 talks about that in the ages to come, He might hold us up as His trophies of the righteousnesses He's put on our lives. He has glorified us. Now, I like a couple parts of that. Number one, how many of you have ever been through a tough time? How many of you have been through a really tough time? How many of you have been through an awful time? Do you see that it says that the sufferings here will never compare to the glory that shall be revealed in us? That no matter how bad it was or will be, because we're not done yet, is not going to even compare to the glory that he has set apart for his children? Not, hallelujah, thank you, Dan. Somebody out there give me another amen. All right. Not only that, it says the creature, this whole world is waiting for God to deliver us. There's one more part. I'm adopted, I'm redeemed, but you know what? I'm still on layaway. Come on, you know what layaway is, right? You come in, put some money down, and the Bible talks about the Holy Spirit is the earnest money on us, that he's given us the Holy Spirit to say we're sealed, so someday God's going to show back up at, what's the old, one of the old stores you used to do layaway all the time on? Okay. Kmart, amen. Bradley's, one of those places where you walk down. Ames, okay? You put something on layaway and you've put money down on it and you know they're holding it someday, and someday you're going to come back with a full payment, drop it, and take it home with you finally. Guys, that's us. We are waiting for one more thing, and that is the redemption of our bodies. Someday, and you Wednesday night crew, you right on this, man, because we talked about the rapture and how it lays out and the whole scope of it and everything, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain will be caught up with him, and we'll be given brand new bodies, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I'm telling you, it's awesome. We're still waiting for that part. But he says, listen, the whole universe is waiting for that. Because someday, once it's all said and done, God says, I'm going to make all things new. New heaven, new earth, I will wipe every tear away from the eyes. Now listen, I'm giving you a bunch of stuff to give a hoot and a holler about. And I need it. There are times where I'm just human. And I'm having a pity party. Well, what's the I'm mad and I'm happy about being mad. And I need to be reminded that I have a deliverer. And not only has he delivered me from things, he's delivered me to certain things. Now I want to look at another verse. Now I'm going to ask you, is God your deliverer? Because if you don't know that for sure, these things that we're talking about, you're still in debt. But if he is, he's given us some positive. Now I want to end with one verse because this is kind of cool. Considering all these things, being justified, being sanctified, being adopted, being glorified. Chapter 8, look at verse 31. What shall we say then to these things? So all this stuff we've just been looking at. If God be for us, who can be against us? Now I love this. Take the two things that we look at the Apostle Paul who said, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this? I thank God through Jesus Christ. If God be for us, who can be against us? So I like this. I wrote this down. God's judgment is for us in justification. He's judged us and said, nope, I'm for you. His power is for us in sanctification. He said, you know what? I've got something special set apart for you, and I'm going to give you everything you need to accomplish it. His love is for us in adoption. That not only have I made you just one of my own, you're a joint heir with Jesus. And his glory, of course, is for us in glorification. That someday everything that we've gone through in this life is going to pale in comparison to what God has planned for us in eternity. If God be for us, is God for you? All right, I'm trying it again. Is God for you? Amen. All right. Now, I'm human. I'm one of y'all. The next time I'm having a hard day, you remind me God is for me. When the devil wants to come in my ear and whisper, you're worthless, you'll never get it right, you're a failure, no matter what you try, you always screw it up. When my heart begins to condemn me, you remind me there is now, therefore, no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Because we're a team, aren't we? That's part of what God has done in putting us together as a family. You and I are justified, sanctified, adopted, and glorified. thank the Lord because he's awesome. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word and what it teaches us. And Lord, there are times that I need this. Lord, there are days where I'm right on board with you and I'm plugging along and doing what I need to do. But Lord, there are other days that pressures come in. And whether it's pressures from the world that make me want to doubt how things are going, Lord, that put me in a state of mind that I shouldn't be in. Or Lord, maybe it's an attack and the enemy is right at me. Or Father, maybe it's my own flesh. And I can't seem to do those things that I want to do. And I'm struggling. Father, I have a deliverer. And he's delivered me from all those negative things that sin brought upon me. But Father, not only did he deliver me from, but the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, delivered us to some pretty special things. And so Father, when those days that the world or my heart or the devil or tries to condemn me, I can be reminded there is no condemnation. But Father, there's one key we didn't really hit a whole lot on this. Over and over and over in the passage, it talked about those who are in the Spirit. And Father, number one, if you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, that Spirit of God has taken permanent residence in us. He never leaves. He is always here. But Father, there's a difference between walking after the flesh and walking after the Spirit. And Father, why? Why do we as Christians, when we have all these wonderful things that we talked about, why do we still turn back to our flesh and want to live under the bondage and slavery that sin continuously puts in our way? If we would walk in the Spirit, we can be justified, sanctified, adopted, and glorified. Father, thank you so much for what you've done in our lives. And now, Lord, in a moment, we're going to